to focus, just to persevere and just to make it. But everything that's within your grasp, you gotta take it, you gotta go hard, and just dig deeper inside you to find that method, that mode that wants that hunger to survive, just to ride the grind and take it the way you gotta take it and never stop.
I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. I came to win, yeah, I came to win. Can't no one stop me, yeah, bring it in. I came to win, yeah, I came to win.
What's going on, everybody? I'd like to welcome y'all back to the Diagnosis Success Podcast, where we talk about motivation, inspiration, dedication, and as always, tapping into your higher self. And I just want to thank all the listeners for running the numbers up. We're doing it. We're killing it. Shout out to all of y'all. Just much love as always. And this week, I got a fly, super dope guest that's on with us. She is an author. She's a businesswoman, entrepreneur. She does it all. Motivational speaker, none other than Elizabeth Hoekstra. What's up, fam?
What's good, Kyle? What's up? What up, though?
Look.
You got the last name right. It's a little difficult.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah, look, everything's healthy. Everything's good. And we're just excited to have you on the podcast. So thank you for taking out the time.
Yes. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much.
Of course. You know, and I gave a brief gloss over about who you are, but for the people that aren't too familiar with you, or they might be living under a rock, can you just explain who Elizabeth Hoekstra is?
Yes. So I am a woman of many different talents, I guess you would say. Really, I've done a lot of things in my life, because once I reach a certain level, which is the top in my mind, I hit my goals, I'll move on to something different, because I feel like life is an experience and you should just take in as much as you possibly can. So I don't ever limit myself and put myself in a box like I can't do something. So if I feel like it, I'm going to do it, right? So in my life, I've been everything from a model, an actress, a chef, a pastry chef, a real estate agent. I was working a little bit with politics for a while, trying to do some advocacy for the city of Detroit when, you know, schools out there are in really bad condition and water, you know, drinkable water is really poisonous out there. So I was doing some advocacy work in Detroit. And then after that, I was the president of a mental health facility. And when I was in real estate too, I built this huge team. I had about 30 agents, which was awesome. And then I became the president of this mental health facility, which kind of brought me into this whole different biohacking world, which now I've taken that and really ran with it. And now I am the director of operations for Forbidden Knowledge, Inc. And I have my own podcast, Biohack Your Best Life. I wrote a book, The Recipe to Elevated Consciousness. And I'm just doing everything I possibly can out here in these streets.
that's amazing. I feel like you did it all.
Yeah,
that's amazing. That's dope. So kind of to circle back, because you mentioned something about biohacking. So for people that are listening to this podcast, they might not necessarily be familiar with that term. Could you explain what it means and what it is that you do?
Yes. So biohacking, that term actually got coined by a man named Dave Asprey. He's the godfather of biohacking. And since then, there's been a lot of different people that have coined the term, not coined the term, but put meaning behind that term. Right. So for me specifically, in my own world, biohacking to me is optimizing the mind, body, and the spirit. So anything from just anything that creates more awareness. So using anything that can bring you to an optimized level on all of those three planes, right? So that's what I feel biohacking is. That's what my intent behind the word is. But I know a lot of people, it varies for people. So in my life of biohacking, I mean, I use different technology to help ground and just bring your body into optimal shape. You know, vitamins can be biohacking. Meditation can be biohacking. I mean, a lot of different things in my meaning, you know, can relate to that word. So it's kind of broad. It's broad, right? In my world.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and this podcast is like all about success. And mm-hmm. as we say to the listeners all the time, we call it the Trinity or the trilogy, right? The mind, body, and the soul. So
yeah.
A lot of times people, they focus on one. So you'll have somebody that'll work out their body, but right. They got terrible spiritual health, or,
yes.
you know, their mental health is like lacking in some way. Mm-hmm. So it's imperative that people really focus and hone in on all three of those things, because that's when you tap into your higher self, you
right.
know? So that's definitely key. Definitely key.
Yeah. It all works cohesively. I mean, if you're lagging in one area, you're not going to be fully optimized in as a whole. Like you said, the Trinity. I mean, it's so important to have all of those things working cohesively and optimally together so you can really align with your divine meaning, the divine mm-hmm. nature, you know, mm-hmm. the real reason why you're here. When you're stuffed up with different things in this environment, let's say your physical body, you have toxicity, you know, and then let's say you have trauma. So now you're mental, you're stressed out. Now your spirit can't, I look at it like a radio stream and static. You know, if you're if your vessel here in this third dimension isn't working optimal, then I feel like they're static when you try to stream your consciousness into this vessel. So you're not going to get the signals and the messages, and you're not going to align perfectly with what you're supposed to do here because you're not, your signal is not clear. So in order for all of that to work together, you really have to get your mind and physical body in this dimension tip top, which, you know, I've done. And I know from experience, experience, all of these things.
So. Yeah, most definitely. I agree with you. You know, and one thing we spoke about on this podcast too, we talk about assets and liabilities, but we talk to it in terms of people. So meaning that to reach your optimal self, in addition to that, you need the right supporting cast as well. So, you know, you got assets where these are people that they pour into you spiritually, mentally, all these different levels, you know, to help you get to where you need to go. Then you got the liabilities, right? These are what we call travel agents because they got so much baggage, right? Emotional baggage, everything is gloom and doom. They're going through, things are so bad. And those people actually bring you down, you know? So you got to be aware and cognizant of these people and say, all right, you know, who are the people that bring the positivity to my life? Who are the people that constantly drain me? You know, those people when the phone rang, and you're like, damn, man, you just want to hit the red button. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, just you, because you know what comes along with that phone call. So that's a fact. That's definitely a fact.
Yeah, they're called energy vampires. And literally their vibration and frequency will steal your shine. It will lower your vibration. It's very, very easy to get caught up in that, which is why I have so many boundaries around that for myself, which is something I learned through my healing journey, that you really need to put boundaries around these things because your energy, you have to protect it. That's all you have. So I always surround myself with people that I aspire to be like, that I can learn from, like you said, pour into you, you know. And I still have friends from back in the day when I used to do crazy stuff, you know. I still rock with those people. It's not like I don't love them. I just don't spend high amounts of time with those people because they'll steal your energy.
And without a doubt, you know, we call that compartmentalizing people.
Yeah.
You know, you got to know what is a space and place for certain people. And then you got to be able to just turn it off sometimes, you know.
Yes.
And,
absolutely.
You know, and we got an episode coming up. And I wanted to ask you about this because we actually have like it's a psychologist that's coming on and she wants to talk about soul ties.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, she was going to go into that. So, you know, I wanted to ask you about that because that kind of ties into like, you know, these different relationships, these different connections that can either harm you or help you. So what's your whole take on like soul ties and that type of stuff?
Well, honestly, I feel like you have a soul tribe really before you incarnate here. I believe in reincarnation, and I believe that we've been here multiple times, or a lot of us have, you know. There are babies here, and then there are very ancient people. You could have a 3-year-old as an ancient soul that has been here thousands of times, and a 90-year-old that it's their first time here. That's where I think the levels of consciousness kind of go like this. But I really feel like you have a soul tribe before you come here, and when you incarnate, those people surround you in your lifetime. Like your mom and your kids and your very, very close lifelong friends. I believe that you on the other side as spirit, you guys are tied together. So it's, you know, supportive, but when you come here, it's like you have amnesia. You know, you don't remember everything that you know on the other side.
It's like the Matrix, like that movie, yes. Right?
Yes, 100%. That was the documentary. For real. Mm-hmm. And then I believe that, you know, certain people in your life are meant to teach you lessons, and they're meant to be there for a certain specific amount of time. And then you have other people that will rock with you for your whole entire life. So really, it depends. I mean, I really feel like you plan this life before you come here. So all of these meetings, nothing is by coincidence. Everything is pre-planned and destined, and everything either feeds you or it teaches you a lesson. So that's my thought process on that. But it's weird that you say that, because I really feel when I meet somebody for the first time, I can know if I'll be cool with that person or not, like that. I can know I'm a rock with you for years, or, you know, we're going to be cool for a minute, or, you know, I don't really vibe with you like that. And I feel that deeply in my spirit. So I know that there's something else stirring out there. You know, I've never died. Well, reincarnation, I probably died a bunch of times. But I don't remember.
Yes.
I don't remember ever dying. So, I mean, it's just very interesting to me that certain people you vibe with like that, and you can just sit and talk for hours, and it's a stranger, you know? So, I mean, it's very interesting.
I agree with you 110%, because, you know, like, when we talk about mind, body, and soul, like, we're big on the spirit and just feeding your spirit. Yeah. And, yeah, I feel that way, too. Like, you know, when you talk about the soul tribe, right? Like you say, there's someone you can meet for the first time, but they're so familiar and they're so cool, and you just connect with them. It's like, yo, this is my person. Yeah. Even though we're just meeting for the first time, quote unquote, but it's not the first time. Like, you've seen this person before, you've known them. It's just like you said, it's kind of like in the Matrix. You don't remember per se, but you've been cool with this person. So yeah, I think like that whole dynamic is a big deal, you know, in terms of just navigating, because it's not just the physicality that we see. There's a whole spiritual realm that we're dealing with on a day to day, you know, and it's like, you know, like we got a soul tribe. I believe we do got soul enemies too, right? These are people throughout your lifetime where you could meet somebody and you're like, yo, I don't really feel this person like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Maybe you was fighting them like years ago. Who the hell knows? But here y'all on the same bus or the same train, you know what I mean? So it just is what it is. But yeah, that's interesting. That's why I wanted to ask you about that. But yeah, that's going to be a dope episode. I'm going to keep y'all posted on that. But I wanted to ask you about forbidden knowledge for a lot of people that's not too aware about all the dope stuff that y'all doing. So can you explain what it is and what you guys got going on?
Yes. So forbidden knowledge is so many different businesses all tied up into one. But really, it's a streaming TV platform. We have now over 6,000 shows on the TV platform. We just released our first really huge, highly produced documentary called The Black Knight Satellite, Beyond the Signal. And we just had our red carpet event. It was amazing. People showed up from all over the country. It was amazing. So it was a great event. And so that's the main thing of Forbidden Knowledge. So we have a bunch of different TV shows, and it's a conscious channel. So it's really, really uplifting. We have esoteric wisdom, health and wellness, spirituality. We have cooking that's healthy, yoga, meditation. You know, we have an entire meditation tracks that play all day on the channel. We also have ancient civilizations, UFOs and UAPs. That's not really my little realm, but it's on there. I don't know too much. I've just never dove in. Not that I don't believe it. I know for a fact that we're not the only ones in this freaking universe. And I think it's very egotistical for us to ever believe that we ever were. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know too much in that realm. My health and wellness, spirituality, stuff like that.
Facts.
Yeah. So we have that. We also have a clothing line, Esoteric Wisdom, that he actually just launched, Forbidden Knowledge, Billy Carson. Just launched. It's a men's fashion, you know, clothing line called Esoteric Wisdom. Mm-hmm. We have our e-commerce store where we sell different biohacking tools. We have all of our books. Billy Carson is the president and CEO, and he's a two-time bestseller. He has two books called Compendium of the Emerald Tablets and Woke Doesn't Mean Broke, which is a bestseller in multiple countries. So that's pretty awesome. And then we have music. So he's a producer and has been on Billboard. And so they produce really, really high quality, conscious music, because his philosophy, which is really dope because it mixes with mine. If you don't like something, don't complain about it. Change it. Right. Mm. Create your own. Mm. So he was not feeling the music, the rap, you know, let's go take drugs and pop, you know, like it wasn't down with that. So he started creating his own music, you know, meditation tracks, very uplifting beats. Educational music. So a lot of that is on there. What else do we have? We're a book publishing company. We have four books that we've published so far, two of his, one of mine, which is also a bestseller, and his son Justin, who wrote Manifest Destiny Journal, which is an amazing, amazing book. So we're a book publishing company. What else are we? Oh, we have our forbidden coin, so cryptocurrency. We have our NFTs, and yeah, we're actually planning a huge Forbidden Knowledge tour next year. So So we're going to hit 6 cities and 2 countries, and it's going to be an interactive conference party. You know, like you go to all these conferences, right? And I was actually just at one and I was pretty bored, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't no energy in there. So I was like, I don't like this. Let's create our own. So we're going on the Forbidden World Tour next year, which will be dope. Fire. They're going to have music, performances, comedy. I mean, not only are we going to be spitting knowledge upon people, but it's going to have all the entertainment intertwined with that. So it's going to be amazing. So it's just, I mean, we do everything. And we're also going public first quarter of 2023, which is really exciting.
fire. Yo, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I like what you said, too. Like, you know, a lot of times it's like people, I feel they have this defeatist mentality. So it's like, I'm going to complain about any and everything. It's like, all right, you know, I don't like the music that's on the radio. All they do is misogynistic. They talk about drugs. They talk about killing each other.
Yeah.
But we have to be the change that we seek, you know? Exactly. So it's like, you know, if you don't like that, then support artists that actually produce the type of content that speaks about life, that speaks about, you know, just being aware. Like, I get it. Life is all about balance. You know, sometimes we ratchet. We want to turn up, right?
Right.
But music is, I tell people all the time, music is like food, right? You can't have fried chicken every day, right? It's like every, you know, if you want that rib or whatever, like every now and then, like, all right, cool. You can't have it every, you need some vegetables too.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, music is the same way. It's like, you got to be aware of what you consume. That's going into your spirit. You know what I mean?
I love that. Sorry. That's so dope.
You know what I mean?
For real.
Yeah. You know, like it's feeding your soul. It's feeding your spirit. And it's like, you know, even like in the morning time, like when you first wake up, right? It's like, I can see people when they drive, and I know what they listening to, how they drive, right? If people driving crazy, they got on gangster music. They caught like 10 bodies before they got to work, right? And it's weaving. I'm like, yo, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? You got people, they chill. They got some jazz music. So it feeds your soul, you know, like you got to be tapped into the right thing. You don't want to get your soul all crazy. So I love that. That's fire.
Well, speaking of mornings, so I feel like that's a really important point to touch on for people that are really trying to live their best lives. Have a morning routine and stick with it. And really, I mean, it's so different these days because now these days we got our cell phones, we have social media, everything is technology. So the minute that we wake up, we go straight to our phones and start scrolling, which is the worst thing that you can do, not only for your mental health, but your physiology. You know, all that blue light and that stimulus is going into your eyes and your brain is trying to process all that stuff immediately upon waking, which is, it's terrible. It's terrible for your brain. It's terrible for your thought process. And it gets you overamped to start your day. So now you're not starting your day centered, you know? And so what kind of day are you really going to have? It's going to be a little bit all over the place and messy. So in the morning time, I really suggest to people that they wake up. Even once they wake up, keep your eyes closed 5 minutes and just imagine things you're grateful for or imagine the perfect day that you're going to have. Don't even open your eyes yet. Let yourself just settle into becoming awake, you know, going from delta to theta to alpha, now to beta, and then wake up, right? Then
hold on. Now, you know, some people don't know what you're talking about. You got to explain them terms. Because you said delta, they think they're going on a trip on the airline. I said Delta, JetBlue. Where are we going?
Oh man.
You gotta break it down.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about Delta. It's not the airline. No, and I'm talking about brain waves here. Anyway. Yeah, so there's different states and frequencies that your brain gives off basically. So when you're in a deep sleep, that's called delta, right? Your brain is in delta waves and it's very, very long and slow waves. That's what your brain waves look like at that moment. Mm-hmm. And then theta is kind of the in-between, you know, wake. It's when your subconscious really takes over your whole body. So now your imagination is more real than your outer world. So theta is really dope because you can actually program your subconscious when you're in theta. And kids from the ages of 0 to 7 are actually in theta. So those years are so important to just be on your best behavior towards those kids. Because everything that you do and say that they're taking in is programming them. Mm-hmm. Literally for the rest of their lives. So wow. Those years are very, very important. So theta. And it's interesting because a biohack, flotation therapy, is real quick. It's 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt dissolved in about a foot of water. So your body is actually less dense than the water. So you lay on top and it's skin temperature. So it's, you know, zero stimulus and your brain can kind of shut down and take a break because we're surrounded by stimulus these days. Even if we sit in a quiet room, there's still noise. There's still light pollution. There's still all of these things. You're still, you know, feeling that you're sitting down. Like I'm sitting on this chair, I can feel it, right? That's stimulus. So when you're in these float tanks, everything is gone. You feel like you're floating in the air, basically. It gives your brain a break. Your brain automatically goes into theta. If you can relax, sometimes the people get anxiety, but then you have to do it more often. But when you can relax inside of a float tank, your brain goes into theta and you can actually reprogram your subconscious mind, which is dope. Wow. So theta is very powerful, you know, waveform for your brain. Then you go into alpha. That's kind of between the sleep and wake state. So now you're just, you know, waking up, you're a little tired and, you know, you're kind of almost loopy a little bit. And that's kind of when you're falling asleep, you know, you can really make emotional changes in that state and really try to plan for your day. That's why I say when you wake up, keep your eyes closed and try to visualize what you want to go on in your day, because that's kind of between theta, alpha, right? And then once you get out of the alpha state, now you go to beta, and beta is, you know, thought process. Now you're focusing. Now you're here, you're up, you're stimulus, you know, your brain is functioning very, very on a very high level. And you don't want to jump from delta to beta. It's too much for your brain. And that's what happens when you grab these things in the morning. And it's so much stimulus. It's really terrifying, to be honest, because all of the madness that we're not used to. I feel bad for the children because their brains, like I said, 0 to 7, you're programming these kids, right? And these kids, their brains are like all the time because parents, you know, it's like a babysitter. These things are like babysitters, you know, give them, while you're at dinner, you're at a meeting or something, give them a phone and they just sit there and they're like zombies, right? Because I mean, it's so interesting. Their brain is taking all of this stimulus in. It keeps them like that. Instead of back when we were kids, you know, we would go outside and we would play on the street, play with a stick. You know, it was way different.
That's it.
It was way different back in the day. They actually did a study of a child that was playing video games for an hour, right? And then they did a functional brain scan of that child. And it was comparative to an alcoholic's brain. Yes. So it's really, really terrifying for me, to be honest, because their brains haven't adapted to being like this yet. So what's going to happen in our future? You know, a lot of that.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Most definitely. Like, you know, and at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, to sit in front of that screen, it just does something negative, like you said. And at the end of the day, like, you want to be able to challenge yourself. You don't want to be so dependent on this social media. You know, it's like they say, run your own race, you know, because, you know, everybody's not posting their failures. So social media can make people, you know, they make people feel like they're losing. And it's like, but most people are lying. So it's like, you know, life is so perfect and, you know, everything's so good. And then people compare their reality to this false set of narratives. And it's crazy, you know,
it's awful. Suicide in young women from the ages of 13 to 17 has gone up by 275% since, I think, 2011.
Wow.
I mean, and then even younger, it's gone up, I think, 178% or something. I don't know the exact percentage, but suicide rates in women have, young girls, has shot through the roof since social media.
It's crazy. It's really crazy. Well, you know, I'll say this. I got two more questions for you, Liz. Mm-hmm. All right. The first one I wanted to ask you is, I call this the back to the future question. So if you can go back in time, right? Let's say, like, you know, 20 years ago and talk to your younger self.
Oh, man.
What's some advice that you would... what's some advice you would give to yourself?
Oh, man, chill out. Oh, God.
Like, turn down, yo.
Yes, turn down. Yes, absolutely. Turn down. Oh, my God. No, you know what? To be honest, I think that what I would tell myself is that things are not awful. You know, when you're young like that and you're a young girl, you're going through a lot of hormonal changes. a man, you know, a young boy, they go through hormonal changes too, but not as extravagantly as a woman. I mean, we have emotional hormones. Women are very different from men. You know, we excrete different types of hormones to make us feel different ways. So we're very, very emotional creatures. Everything affects us. And when we're teenagers and just starting to feel these new hormones releasing in our bodies, everything is such a big deal, right? And it's like, my life is over. I mean, I was in a bad place when I was, 20 years ago, 15. I was 15 years old and I was not in a good mental space. I was already addicted to drugs and alcohol. And it was just, I was running away from my issues, which was trauma that I didn't know what was happening to me. I just knew that I didn't feel good inside. So I was reaching for anything I possibly could to self-soothe myself. Mm-hmm. So that's where I was at that time. So I would just tell myself to calm down. It's going to be okay. You know, just work through your issues and try to stay positive and, you know, just know that you can get rid of your trauma and you can get rid of all of these negative feelings inside yourself in a different way rather than reaching for alcohol or reaching for that next drug. Mm-hmm. You can really, really do things naturally and holistically to make yourself feel good inside. Because mm-hmm. back then I felt like if I didn't have something else to make me feel good, I felt like a gaping hole inside of me. I felt empty. And lost. And I was always reaching, you know, friends, parties, anything I could possibly do to distract myself from really facing what was my inner world, which was filled up with turmoil. It really, really screwed me. But right. I don't ever regret anything because it's brought me to the place where I am today. So, I mean, I made a ton of mistakes back then and I wouldn't be able to speak about them now if I hadn't have gone through all that. So, I mean, I would just tell young girls that you really, you know, there are ways and it's possible to feel amazing inside and to manifest your best life without all of the extra and the excess. You know, you just have to face what's scary within yourself. And that's yourself.
Definitely. And there's a saying, they say rejection is God's protection, right? Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of times it's like, you know, we grinding, we hustling, and especially when you're young, because it's like you're just trying to figure it out, you know? Yeah. And a lot of times things that we want is a blockage, but that's really a blessing, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I really don't look at anything as a loss. I look at everything as an opportunity to learn, right? Yes. So, you know, that's the name of the game. It's like perspective. Like, how do you view things? You know, so that's definitely key. You dropping gems. Here we go. So, I would say, the last question that I have for you, cause I mean, you have so many accomplishments. I know that you're an amazing author. So, you know, I would say like, you know, sometimes I look at books like, cause I'm a musician myself. So when I'm doing albums, like people ask me like, what's your favorite song from your album? So my question for you is, what's your favorite chapter from your book?
Oh, wow. I don't know. Oh my gosh. So probably it would have to be probably my grounding chapter, grounding/earthing, just because I'm so obsessed with it. It's made massive, massive change in my life. And one of my main goals in this whole, what I'm doing right now is to ground more than 1 million people. And I'm actually working on my second book right now with a co-writer. I'm co-writing a book with Olivia Smith, who actually works with Clint Ober, the man that rediscovered grounding in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. And so they work at Earthing, the Earthing Institute. And those are amazing, amazing people. Clint Ober has dumped more than $20 million into research to prove the science behind grounding, because it sounds a little woo-woo that if you go outside and stick your feet in the grass, that you're going to feel all this better and you're going to get rid of all this disease. Really, I mean, there's scientific research and backing as to why that works. And so that chapter is very profound for me because it made such a big change in my life. And I know that it will make such a big change in everybody else's if they were to give it a chance. I've watched miracles literally right in front of me happen through grounding. Miracles. I mean, it's insanity. And it's the easiest thing in the world. It's free. It's literally free. I mean, there are technologies that you can order that, you know, keep you grounded all day long, all night long, which I have all of them because I'm obsessed. But it's free. I mean, you can literally go outside right now and put your feet in the grass 30 minutes and you'll probably notice calm, your nervous system might downregulate because we're all kind of hopped up right now because of all the stress and trauma that's been going on for the past 3 years. So our nervous systems are way on the fight or flight side, sympathetic. Mm-hmm. You know, there's two sides of your nervous system. One is parasympathetic, the other is sympathetic. Parasympathetic, rest and digest. You know, that's when you're peaceful, when your body's relaxed, and sympathetic, when you're hopped up, fight or flight. And a lot of things change within your physiology to make you, a lot of stress go through your body when you're stuck like that. And when you're stuck like that and you have a lot of stress in your body, you have tons of cortisol, adrenaline rushing through your system, causing inflammation, causing stress, causing pain, which leads to autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. So there's been a rise since the 1960s of autoimmune disease and diabetes. And in the 1960s is when they slapped rubber synthetic bottoms on shoes, which disconnected us from the earth. Think about this. Back in the 1960s, you would go to the doctor for an acute injury, maybe something happened, a birthing issue or something, but you wouldn't really have to go to the doctor back then as much as we do now, because there wasn't hospitals on every corner. Urgent care is on every corner. Mm-hmm. There wasn't 5 billion, this is a real stat, 5 billion prescriptions being dispersed every year. There wasn't any of that. But now, these days, think about this. Why do we have so much money being dumped into the medical system? We're the richest we've ever been. We're the most technologically advanced than we ever have been before. And why are we the sickest we've ever been in history? Ask yourself that. It's like, there are reasons for these things. And honestly, it's impossible to be chronically inflamed when you're grounded. It's impossible.
Facts. And you know, a large part of that too is, like we always say, you know, the money's in the illness, not in the cure. Mm-hmm. So no one can convince me that cancer has been around for so many years. No. But yet COVID-19 comes and all of a sudden you guys are able to make a vaccination that quick, right? So that tells us a lot of things, right? There's money in chemotherapy.
Oh, yeah.
There's a substantial amount of dollars in radiation. There's a lot of money that goes into the medical system and people profit off of illness. Yes. So when we're aware that we live in like this capitalistic society where everything's driven by money, we have to do everything we can to take care of ourselves, you know? Right. So, and it starts with like basic stuff too. Like I tell people, like, what do you consume on a daily basis? Like you go to McDonald's, you get 30 nuggets for $5, right?
Yeah.
And it's garbage, right? It's like you eat it. Like in the Black community, like we always champion the itis, right? It's like, yo, I got the itis, man. I'm tired. Right, but you shouldn't feel like that after you eat food. Like your body's fighting, it's going overdrive to try to break down that nonsense, you know, and it has no nutritional value. So it's like you basically just consume nothing, you know. Yeah. It's really like the Matrix, where it's like the scene where Neo's eating with the bad guy. Yeah. And he's like, you know, I know I'm in the Matrix and I know this steak doesn't taste as good as I think it does. Right. And this is real stuff, though. It's like, yo, you know, they make it taste good, but it's garbage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, our bodies, like I said before, a lot of people are stuck in fight or flight right now. And when you're in fight or flight, you don't absorb anything. Your abdominal, your gut shuts down. So that your extremities are full and pumped up with blood so you can get up and run away from the threats. So a lot of people are stuck like that. Probably about 90% of the world is literally stuck in fight or flight. So when you sit down and you try to eat when you're in fight or flight, you're not absorbing anything, nothing. Mm-hmm. You're not getting any nutritional value from what you're eating. You would be eating the most healthiest meal ever. But if you're stuck in fight or flight, you're not going to take any of that in. So,
So true. So true. Mm-hmm. Yep. All the listeners, be mindful what you eat. Yeah. You know, it can definitely...
Yeah. Over your food too. You want to stay positive when you eat.
Yes.
You speak positivity over your food. You don't ever want to be in a bad mood when you eat. Mm-hmm. You don't ever want to speak negative over what you eat. Because if you really think about it, what comes out of our mouth? Cymatic frequencies. It's frequency, sound, vibration, frequency, right? What is our food? Frequency, vibration. I mean, atoms, what? We're living in a light matrix. You know, all of this stuff isn't even real. It's just, you know, we're 99% empty space at the end of the day. But I mean, think about what would happen to that food if you're speaking negatively upon that food. And these vibration and frequencies are now going into the food, you know, changing the food's vibration. So really think about it like that when you're putting things and putting things in your mouth. Just try to be in a really good state. Speak really, really positive over your food, because that will in turn give a lot more value to what you're eating.
That's a fact. That's a big fact right there. Yep, that's true. And the last thing I want to ask you, because I have one more thing for you. What's a mantra for Elizabeth Hoekstra? Like mine is, well, I got two. Persistence wears down resistance. And then shout out to my cousin MG, the mortgage guy. Collaboration is greater than competition. So I'm big on team building, just like-minded people that pour into you, you pour into them. So what's your mantra that you roll with?
Oh, man. So I think I wrote a quote in my book, a traumatic start does not have to be a life sentence. Mm. I mean, a lot of people, I think, come into this world and have a really, really rough start at life. And then in turn, that creates a lot of drama and trauma in their younger years, which leads into their older years. And, you know, people think that that's a life sentence, that, oh, woe is me. My life is over. I'm never going to make it. I'm not going to. Right. And that's not the case. I mean, that really isn't the case. I've been through a lot, had a lot of downs, and I've had a ton of ups too. And through it all, I was able to overcome, succeed. And honestly, I never thought I would be feeling this good. I never thought that I would be naturally this euphoric and feel this ecstasy every single day that I feel now. I never thought that was possible. But in doing the work, I mean, it's made my life literally a magical freaking dance every single day, you know? Mm-hmm. And I never thought that was possible because I was filled up with trauma and drama and stress. So I tell people, you know, it doesn't have to be a life sentence. You can really, really learn to face your demons and then get to the other side. And the other side is much, much greener. It's magic.
Most definitely. And part of that too, I wanted to ask you, like, what's your thoughts on therapy? Because, you know, I've met a lot of people, like, you know, just in life in general, personally dealing in the music industry. And I've met a lot of people that had trauma. And I realized that a lot of people that have these traumatic experiences, I've met people that they have therapy, they feel it helps. And some people that don't, and I see them struggle, you know, where it's like they carry this weight around with them, you know, and it's like it constantly breaks them down. So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think everybody has trauma. I know that everybody has trauma. When you come through your mother's womb as a baby, that's trauma to your head, physical trauma, right? I mean, and everybody has that. Everybody has trauma. Trauma, all trauma is when your nervous system gets stuck in a certain way for a long period of time and you can't really regulate yourself again. So it's an imprint inside your mental space, your physical body, and your energy. Your energy can actually get blocked from trauma. So everybody has it, everybody in the whole world. So therapy, I think, is a great tool. It's a great biohack, you know, because really what you're doing is you're letting your brain hear the words come out of your mouth. And if you have a good therapist, they're not running their mouth and talking more than you are. The therapist is supposed to mirror back to you the issues that are going on within you, so you can then become aware of what's happening in your life, right? So I think therapy is great. I was in it for a very, very long time. I still go sometimes because sometimes I just need to vent and I don't want to put my negative thoughts and all of this negative stuff upon other people. So I go to my therapist. I think therapy is amazing, but there are other things that work. You know, sometimes therapy doesn't work for people. Talk therapy doesn't work for a certain personality. So there are other things like brain training, like flotation therapy, like grounding, like EFT, emotional freedom technique. I mean, there's a bunch of different techniques and modalities that you can use to also help rid your body of trauma, rid your mind of trauma. Trauma release exercise is great. There's a bunch of different things that may work for you better than other things may work for you. But to be able to, or just to have that dark cloud following you for life, I mean, you got to get rid of it, because the only way that we're going to change this world and tip the scale to change these systems that are obviously not working, right? I mean, you see all this madness manifesting all over this planet right now. We're not in a good place mentally. I mean, it's not the worst that we've ever been, but it's not great either. So for us, it's our responsibility to heal that trauma within ourselves, get rid of that dark cloud, and then become an inspiration for others to do the same, which is my life. It's what I do. I don't try to change anybody. I try to inspire people to change themselves, because you can't change anybody. You can't. It's impossible.
Yeah. And like you said, that dark cloud, people walking around with that dark cloud, it gets old. And then what happens sometimes too is people just don't want to deal with that, you know? So yeah, people will withdraw from you because it's like, it's just always negative. It's gloom and doom. And like you said, everybody has trauma. It's nothing wrong with that. But we do have a responsibility to take control, you know? So I agree with you 110%. You know, well, this was fire. You understand? It was dope, super dope.
I'm glad I'm sleep deprived right now.
look, hey, couldn't tell. You know, couldn't tell. It's like, yo, you know, it was fire. And we appreciate you dropping all this knowledge, like, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you so much.
Of course. Listen, that's what it is. More things to come. So once again, shout out to Elizabeth Hoekstra, Forbidden Knowledge. Diagnosis Success Podcast is always tap into your higher self. Stay motivated. Stay great. Let's get it.
Winning so much that it seems wrong. Never gonna lose, that's my theme song. I'm just a kid in the jeans on. Back to reality, ain't no one bad as me. See, they be doubting, but I keep on actually pushing. Not giving up, that's how I give it up. Pushing, not giving up, that's how I give it up. That's how I give it up.